U.S. v. Beck.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Clark Holsinger, and I represent Dr. Younghi Beck. I represented Dr. Beck at the trial and sentence in this matter below in the Northern District of Indiana before Judge Alan Sharp. The defendant was a doctor in Gary, Indiana. He was charged by way of indictment with 27 counts. The counts involved conspiracy to distribute controlled substance, distribution of controlled substances, and with health care fraud. Dr. Beck was convicted of all but one count, which was dismissed before it went to jury. The first several issues in the brief deal with the sufficiency of the evidence in this case. But what I would like to go to first, there is an issue, number seven, which dealt with Mr. Beck's prior counsel, Jerry Jarrett. And when my brief was submitted, the U.S. versus Jerry Jarrett had not been determined at that time. And that case in itself has a lot of weight on that issue. The other issue that I would like to start with is the issue of the health care fraud, the scheme to defraud the health care provider, which essentially alleged that Dr. Beck is alleged to have with 55th Pharmacy through the prescription of Sean Rivera, use health care insurance to pay for meds and to defraud that because of the alleged, in the earlier counts, indictment, alleged conspiracy to get these wrongfully prescribed prescriptions and by that means get this money from these health care providers. However, even if you take the government's evidence at face on these counts, and that would be the fifth issue in my brief, is that Dr. Beck was writing these prescriptions in order to just receive cash for himself, and that these were then being fulfilled by 55th in this case and the other pharmacy that was indicted in this case. But to now bring in this health care insurance fraud, Dr. Beck, the evidence is, had no concern as to what happened outside of his office other than he hoped someone would fill these prescriptions. These prescriptions were being filled by 55th and the other pharmacy, but
he was directing his patients to those pharmacies.
There was also evidence there were three people on three pharmacies, that one of them which eventually went out of business, that were filling these prescriptions. And Your Honor, even if that's the case, that he's directing them at that, to now then bring him into a health care defraud scheme is like asking him to be part of a counterfeit scheme if someone paid for this with counterfeit money. Dr. Beck had no direction once those prescriptions left his office with how these prescriptions were being filled. And I think that's an important factor into all of a sudden drag him into this ValueX health insurance scheme. ValueX is the insurance company here. And to draw him into that scheme, it just doesn't work.
He referred his patients to 55th and Washington Drugs, right?
He did refer them there.
And, of course, yes. Part of why he referred them there is because everybody else refused to.
Not everybody else, Your Honor. There were others that were.
Right, but many of the area pharmacies, knowing his practices, refused to fill the orders. So those were the two that were sure winners, 55th Avenue Pharmacy and Washington Drug.
But even though that's happening, okay, I don't think you get into the part where Dr. Beck is concerned with how these are being paid for. You know, if someone had paid for this with a stolen credit card, you then have him being involved in that. Doesn't work. There may have been the conspiracy in count one, that they're talking about, where he is in this conspiracy with the pharmacies, with the and himself to get these prescriptions filled. But there's not this next step about getting these prescriptions paid for by health insurance. The evidence, even the government points out repeatedly in its brief, is that Dr. Becht refused health insurance and Medicaid in his payments.
Well, sure, because he was getting $50 to provide prescription drugs in cash and to provide prescriptions with refills. He was getting $100 in cash. So why does he, you know?
Except that, Your Honor, he doesn't get involved in this health care scheme. Just because they paid for it with health insurance isn't involved with what Dr. Becht was doing. If you concede, the government proved their case. And that's our concern with count 27.
The point is, at least, is that he wasn't, I think they rely on, Sean Rivera, he wasn't entitled or should not have been prescribed this particular drug, yet he was, and then the insurance company paid for it. Isn't that?
The insurance company paid for the pharmacy for that, Your Honor. Dr. Becht was not at that part. I mean, there's evidence that there was no communication between these pharmacies and Dr. Becht. Some of the pharmacies and information until they were indicted was the first time they met face to face.
There was no conversation between people representing the pharmacies and Dr. Becht or anybody on his behalf.
On his behalf regarding filling these prescriptions with health care insurance. There was no, and there is no evidence to that effect that Dr. Becht or the pharmacy ever communicated about filling these prescriptions with health care insurance. I mean, I think this part of
as far as the doctor knew, they'd pay cash at the pharmacy.
That's right. He had no idea how they were paying theirs. The government would refer to some of the documents he got warning him about some of these patients being filling prescriptions, duplicating it, but he had no conversations with 55th or Washington Drugs over filling these prescriptions with health
care. And on
insurance.
These duplications, these were letters from the pharmacy themselves rather than the insurance company?
No, Your Honor, from insurance companies.
So
they were some form.
Right, from the insurance company. So he knew at least some of his patients.
He would know, I have to admit that, yes, he did know some of those, but he did not have any direction with how these things were being paid for any more than in anyone else does once they've completed a transaction and someone goes
someplace
else.
And this timing of when he gets the letters from the insurance companies, how does that play out in terms of timing? I mean, I assume he continued to write prescriptions after he got those notices.
Sean Rivera comes in, I think, near the end of this whole conspiracy to begin
with.
Right,
Sean Rivera comes in after some of these letters come in
and
from the insurance company.
Right, and I don't recall the exact dates of some of those, Your Honor.
So even if there was no direct conversation, he certainly had noticed that some of the people were
paying with some of these with health insurance. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's prescriptions or if some other reference to doctors, but that's certainly possible, Your Honor. One of the other concerns that we had and raised was the issue over the sufficiency on counts involving non-testifying patients. There were three patients that did not testify.
Do you mean because they were dead?
Because they were dead, Your Honor. Your Honor, they were dead. Whether it was related to Dr. Becht, I think in RM's case that may be the case. But the other two, I do not know that for sure. I know.
Well, I certainly will ask the government about Barbara W. But
you know, the evidence as to those three, Your Honor, is very sketchy. And in the midst of there's some medical records that are submitted in files, But even the experts hardly ever touch on these three individuals in these counts.
But at least count eight with Roger M. Barkin testified that the prescriptions were not within the scope of his medical practice, and that we had the prescriptions and patient files. So on this Barbara W., we don't have Dr. Barkin's testimony. We have no expert testimony on that.
From Dr. Perrin?
I'm saying Barkin. Roger M. Barkin testifies that the prescriptions are not within the scope of the medical practice, and you have the prescriptions themselves and the patient files. But on this Barbara W., there was no Dr. Barkin.
That's correct, Your Honor. And one of the things about Dr. Barkin's testimony is whenever he gets into that strain about whether or not this is, he's a pharmacist, not a physician. He is also, he always qualifies these by using a series of P words, going pharmacologically, pharmacopathically, pharmacokinetically, pharmacodynamically.
But that's testimony. That's testimony as to the accepted practice of physicians. And surely that, you know, that's relevant to the criminal issue of whether this fellow was acting as a physician or a drug dealer.
I think that,
his conduct gets further and further away from accepted practices. It's reasonable for a jury to find that, you know, the individual's no longer acting as a physician. And you know, Dr. Barkin is using the language of physicians.
He's using the language more to pharmacy other than doctor.
Yeah, and but as a pharmacist, he has to know what the drugs are used for, and perhaps you would quarrel and say there should have been a better expert, but doesn't your objection really go to the weight? Admissibility? And
does
the jury
go to the
obviously
weight, yeah. Yes.
And the jury yeah. agreed yes. with him. Because count 10, that's the other count with this Don C. It's like count 8, where Barkin testifies. 9 is the only one where we don't have Barkin's testimony, right?
I think that's correct, Your Honor, yes.
All right. Yeah.
One other issue that, and I know I jumped around, but I've got several issues that I really just want to touch on. The other issue is issue 8 regarding the HIPAA and the doctors and the motion in limine in these patients. I think that this case, more than anything, when we're dumping 5,000 files with all these patients' information, calls from some type of recognition that there is a patient, that there should be recognized a patient-doctor privilege that protects not only the patient, but the doctor on what has to be released and how it can be released. Thank you.
Counsel? You'll hear from the government. Berkowitz?
May it please the Court, Diane Berkowitz of the United States. Let me address what counsel just left off with, which is the issue of Barbara Wilcox. The Court expressed some interest with respect to that count 9.
Yes.
Because you acknowledge that there was no mention of her by either of the expert witnesses and that no patient files for her were ever what evidence was introduced with respect to her?
With respect to Ms. Wilcox, what was introduced were the prescriptions for that patient. And what you see with the prescriptions is Dr. Barkin and Dr. Perrin testified as a uniformity consistent with the 4,000 other patient files that were entered in this case. Controlled substances, a cocktail, if you will, of the same substances that just about every patient received from Dr. Back, an opiate.
But maybe she was the one of the 4,000 that really needed that.
None of the 4,000 patient files evidenced proper medical treatment. None of those patient files evidenced a doctor who was prescribing medication for medical purposes. All patient files had a uniformity that Dr. Barkin pointed out to the Court was somewhat peculiar. Specifically, all the patients seemed to have the same body temperature. All the patients received a very uniform, cursory physical examination. And if the Court's seen the videotape, you've seen that the The examination takes no more than 3 minutes. It actually takes the doctor more time to write the prescriptions that the patients are requesting. Barbara Wilcox is only one of 4,000 some patients. Given the other evidence in the case, the jury could draw a reasonable inference with respect to Ms. Wilcox. It is the only patient file that is not present. It is the only patient file that was not specifically addressed by Dr. Barkin and Dr. Perrin. But both experts did state that based on their review of these files, they saw no indication that Dr. Beck was prescribing controlled substances for a legitimate medical purpose.
So you would just say circumstantially?
Yes, Your Honor. I would say circumstantially there is very strong evidence to support the conviction on count 9 of the indictment.
Well, why don't you speak to this health fraud conviction? What evidence did you have that Beck knew that his, quote, patients were getting their prescriptions filled and that insurance companies were paying for those prescriptions?
We introduced evidence at trial and within several of the patient files and independent of the patient files found in the doctor's office were letters that the doctor received from insurance companies identifying to him generally that these patients were paying for their prescriptions with insurance, but also advising him that he should evaluate or reevaluate his prescribing patterns for these patients given the large quantity, for example, of opiates that were being prescribed that may not be in the best interest of their patient's health.
And what's the timing of those letters relative to the conspiracy?
Some of those letters predate Sean Rivera, and some of them are after the fact. Additionally, the doctor testified at trial and stated himself that he was aware that his patients, many of his patients, had Medicaid, had insurance, but he refused to take it. He was well aware that these patients had medical insurance, and he has been in the medical profession for over 20 years.
Did he have any agreement with either of the pharmacies involved?
The government would maintain that, yes, indeed, there was an agreement, but there was no verbal communication, no specific communication, but it was clearly, Your Honor, a symbiotic relationship between the defendant and the pharmacies.
But does that make a conspiracy?
It does, Your Honor, when you have a protracted pattern, a consistent pattern of the prescriptions being issued by the defendant, the pharmacies, and a pharmacist did testify. Mr. Dickinson did testify from 55th Avenue Pharmacy and stated he was aware that there were pharmacies that were not filling this doctor's prescriptions. And nonetheless, he filled them. He filled them not only knowing that other pharmacies were not filling the prescriptions, but he filled them seeing that there were a large percentage of the prescriptions coming in from individuals who were outside the state of Indiana. And he was aware, as he stated during the trial, that most of these prescriptions were for controls and were a consistent cocktail, a consistent pattern of prescriptions for these individuals. The government introduced at trial evidence as to the financial benefit that accrued to the pharmacies as a result of their filling these prescriptions. Over 20% of the prescriptions that were filled by 55th Avenue Pharmacy came from defendant Dr. Beck. At Washington Avenue Pharmacy, 10,000 out of 16,000 prescriptions filled in controls were coming from Dr. Beck. That is a huge percentage of both those pharmacies' prescription sales. They were aware, and the defendant knew himself, that he could not just issue a prescription in the hopes that someone would fill his prescription. The value of his prescription and the success of his medical practice, such as it was, depended entirely on his ability to get those prescriptions filled. He found partners in 55th Avenue Pharmacy and Washington Drugs because they were willing to fill his prescriptions. They were willing to take the volume because of the...
That was without any agreement, right?
There was no verbal agreement, Your Honor. But the actions of the defendants... The actions of the defendants would certainly indicate that there was a tacit agreement to fulfill this conspiracy. One could not happen without the other. If a defendant did not have someone to fill his prescriptions, he would not have people coming to him. We had testimony.
How did you instruct the jury with regard, how did the court instruct the jury with regard to proof required for proving this conspiracy?
At the standard Seventh Circuit instruction on conspiracy, Your Honor.
tacit agreement is enough?
Well, I misspoke, Your Honor. There is certainly an agreement that's evidenced by the actions of the defendants. It's not, there is no verbal agreement, and this circuit is not required that there actually be some verbal communication, but their actions certainly indicate that there was an agreement. And the defendant...
He didn't argue that the jury was improperly instructed to apply the wrong standard in any case, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. Mr. Dickinson testified that he was aware. He was one of the pharmacists who did enter a guilty plea. He did testify that he was aware there were multiple people coming in from out of state. It was the same pattern of prescriptions. It was huge volume. And he turned a blind eye to it.
On the health care fraud, he was charged directly with it as well as with aiding and abetting. Is that right?
The defendant?
Was aiding and abetting part of the health fraud charge?
I'm not sure if Section 2 was actually identified,
okay,
but I believe it was in the jury instructions.
All right.
If the court has no further questions, I'd ask that the court affirm the sentence and the conviction of the defendant.
Thank you, Ms. Berkowitz. Mr. Holsinger? You have 2 minutes, Mr. Holsinger.
One, going back to the patient without the medical file and without testimony regarding that with Barbara Wilcox, one of the things that Dr. Perrin said, and I'm sorry I don't have it in my notes when he said that in his testimony, but I could submit that, is that, you know, there may have been legitimate medical files in that 4,000. In fact, all of the experts, my expert, Dr. Barkin, Dr. Perrin, looked at a very small portion of those files. And to then draw something out from pharmacy records, for one, because they matched, there's testimony that Dr. Beck also treated other illnesses for some, and they're cited in my brief, other illnesses as well for these individuals. So there wasn't everything that was related to this portion of his practice. While 55th and Washington were the main fillers of this prescription, the prescriptions, they were not the only ones. And so to draw from that, that there's an agreement just because these were the ones, they were also the closest pharmacies to Dr. Beck, that there's some type of conspiracy between these individuals and Dr. Beck, Beck is to make a jump and a leap on that. And with that, I will close and thank you for your time.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.